I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Recently on the show, we told you about Hugo Castro. He's the Mexican-American immigrant rights advocate who went missing in Mexico while traveling to support a caravan of migrants from Central America. Details of his disappearance are still unclear, but Castro was eventually found alive. He's now recovering from serious injuries. And that caravan he was supporting, it finally made it, as planned, to Tijuana yesterday. The group included some 200 Central American migrants. Their trek across Mexico was planned to highlight the dangers migrants face on their journey to the U.S. and the uncertainties they face when they reach the border. Reporter Aaron Siegel McIntyre met some members of the caravan yesterday near the Tijuana-San Ysidro crossing.
So it was overcast, it was pouring rain, people's spirits were pretty mixed. I saw a mixture of folks crying, people were really emotional, some were really happy and excited, and others were frankly pretty scared. They were worried about going straight into detention after they turned themselves in.
Aaron, what kind of stories did you hear from these migrants about the journey they took north?
So one of the migrants I met was 16 years old. His name was Jimmy Antonio. He was traveling by himself until he met up with a caravan in Tapachula. So he said there were various hard parts of the trip.
La parte más difícil del viaje fue que aguantamos bastante hambre, aguantamos bastante.
So Jimmy was telling me that some of the hardest parts of the trip were just being so hungry, so thirsty, going from extreme cold to extreme heat. And he said that one of the biggest risks was riding on top of La Bestia, the freight trains that run across Mexico, and running the risk of possibly falling.
Like sleeping on top of the train and possibly falling off in the middle of the night right in the desert somewhere.
That's right. That's right.
So, Aaron, you suggested earlier that these migrants are coming primarily from Central America. Where specifically, and what kinds of stories did you hear about what caused their flight in the first place?
So they're coming from Honduras, from El Salvador, from Guatemala, from Nicaragua, and many of the young people say they're fleeing from violence and from gangs. Here's Jimmy again.
Me mataron a mi hermano y a mí me amenazaron igual.
So he was explaining that they killed his brother and he was also personally threatened by the gangs. And that's just the reality of his country. And so Jimmy told me that he was leaving because the gang had caught him, had beaten him and had threatened him. And that was why he left. He didn't want to run the risk of staying in Honduras. And so this isn't a singular experience. Jimmy was traveling with a 19-year-old he had met on the caravan named Aaron. And they were traveling together.
Pero nos agrupamos.
So Aaron told me that although there was lots of differences from being from different countries, that they were all in this together, that they were able to accomplish a lot together. And because of that, and kind of thanks to this, they were able to overcome challenges together as a group on the caravan together.
So what now? And they've got to get into the United States and they'll try and get asylum. How many are requesting asylum?
So 78 individual asylum seekers presented themselves at the border last night. And so what happens next is a little bit of a question. Lawyers for different refugees have been saying that right now, many of these folks requesting asylum will be put straight into detention. There's a chance some will be released with ankle monitors. But, you know, this isn't the end of the story for them. Just getting into the country is the very first step. And so it's a much different question as to whether or not they'll actually receive asylum in the United States. For Central Americans specifically, since 2011, between, I would say, 10 to 23% actually receive asylum. So when you think about the number of folks that presented yesterday, 78, that means maybe 10 of them might get asylum at the end of the day.
Have you ever seen anything like this en masse before?
You know, Marco, I haven't. And I've been covering the border for nearly 7 years now. I think this is pretty unprecedented. I've never seen this number of people present.
What was the reaction from, like, immigration officials when they saw the number of people that were arriving?
You know, they seemed to take it in stride. CBP agents at the gate were just doing their jobs. They treated them respectfully. All of the asylum seekers were in a very orderly line. They filed in, and then they were taken behind the scenes.
And yet this all happens amid allegations in other cases that U.S. immigration agents have been turning away migrants without even reviewing their cases. I know you've been speaking with a lawyer based in Tijuana who's been looking at this for months. What did you hear?
So there's an American human rights lawyer who's based in Tijuana. Her name is Nicole Ramos, and she's helped nearly 70 different asylum seekers previous to this weekend apply for asylum at the border. And what Nicole says is happening is that CPB agents have been turning people away for different reasons that aren't necessarily legal, like telling folks, hey, you're Mexican, we don't give asylum to Mexicans. Or she says they've been presenting reasons like, oh, we don't grant asylum to your kind of person. So this is what Nicole told me.
They've been turning away people from the border for years. And since the election of Trump, we've seen a further increase of rejections as well as a dramatic increase in hostility towards asylum seekers and migrants coming to the border.
And Darren, how do Customs and Border Protection officials respond to this?
Thus far, they haven't commented. I'm not sure what's going to happen next.
Reporter Aaron Siegel-McIntyre in Tijuana, thanks very much for the update.
You're welcome, Marco. Thanks.